So guys, did you all enjoy the first couple of weeks? We're on to week number three, second week of Oaks of Wine, which we're really excited about. How many of you had a really like good time last week, just in the presence of God? You're just bringing breakthrough. There's no doubt things happened last week, eh? And I'm sure you've felt it carry on throughout this week. And we just... What? Anyway, I missed that. We really felt like last week was just such an amazing time of like just the baptism of the fire of God, eh? It was just this purifying fire of just His love just coming and breaking down anything that was in our lives that just was hindering the flow of God. And it just was such a beautiful time. Eh? We were just so blessed by it, really excited, and we're even more excited about tonight. We just feel like His fire is just going to continue to fall down, and then maybe just His wine just being released. We'll just see how it goes, but ultimately the presence of God is going to be here. He's going to touch our hearts, so we just encourage you to open up your hearts, open up your minds just to receive. Just a quick couple announcements. We will end as close to 9 o'clock as possible, but it's not a set time, so if you want to leave, you're welcome to leave any time. We're not going to close the service. No one's going to get up and say, okay, that's the end. So you're welcome just to walk out whenever you want to. And for the musos, we have said to them that they can finish up around about 9 as well. And then, but if you're still enjoying the presence of God, just hang around. We'll put DVDs on. It doesn't mean you have to stop if the musos stop. And then just also a reminder, if you weren't here the first week, we don't have a ministry mic during worship. So if you do have a word or anything on your heart, you're welcome to come share it with us, but we're not going to be releasing words during worship. We just really feel that it's a time of us engaging with God, one-on-one, just a personal, intimate time of worship with Him. So, yeah. Michelle.
Good evening. Welcome once again. Let's tell you a little story before we start. Erin, my daughter, and I always go to movies, but we always go to the animation movies because we love it. And some of them are very prophetic. And she always says to me, what we went to see the Incredible Four. And she said, Mom, what do you want to be? And we thought of all the characters in the Incredible Four. And I said, I want to be Stretch. I want to stand on my veranda and I want to put my arm out. I want to pick you up from school and I want to bring you back. I want to be Stretch. And I think God got the wrong message because here I am stretched. So next time I'm going to give God a picture like He gives me pictures. And I say, Lord, that's a real Stretch I want to be. But when you are stretched, the reason why God stretches you is He wants to put more in you. And you all have a turn to be stretched as well. So get ready. So what I want to do tonight, I want to do Orphan Heart and Sonship. And it's in my heart to take us from a place of visitation to a place of habitation. And it means that we know our identity in Christ, and we know that we're seated in the heavenly realms, and we know we have the Holy Spirit manifesting His presence on us at all the time. And we're so overflowing with the Spirit of God that no matter what trials or anything you go through, you are at an incredible time of peace. And you will get the trials, but you are lifted right above the trials, and you're looking down, and it's just meaningless because you know that God is going to turn that around for the good. You know that whatever you're going through, God is going to turn that around. That is a place of habitation. And also, in a place of habitation, you know your identity. You're very secure in yourself. So if other people are blessed, you don't have a spirit of jealousy. Because the reason why is we are not robots. We're all in Christ, but we don't all get the same blessing. So when somebody is blessed in their way, you don't say, well, I am now due for the same blessing. We're not robots. We're individuals. Okay? And God made you an individual, created you differently, and He's got different blessings for you. So you must be secure in your position when you're in Christ. You are secure and you're happy for the people that are blessed. So if somebody's got a big deal and they've got all this money coming through, you are happy because God's got another big deal coming through for you that is completely different. Okay. But we've got three people in this world. And we're going to only deal with two of them today. The third one we leave for Steve Wheeler to deal with. That's the unsaved. Okay, the first one is a person. They believe, but they're living from a place of habitation. They're living from God. They're very secure. They've got no room for jealousy, for fear, for pride, or any judgments. Now, we went through that last week. So if you weren't here last week, you can get the podcast, eh? Hey, that sounds good. Okay, I'm just checking. But a person's committed, really hungry for God. This is a person living in a place of habitation, right? And we want to move you from a place of visitation to a place of habitation. So we're doing what is people who live in a place of habitation all about. They are spirit-filled. They supernaturally as natural. Everything is given over to God. And what they do is they believe, but they also belong. So everything is kingdom mindset. They receive easily. They're sons and daughters of the Most High God. They know it. They know they're seated in the heavenly realms. Freely they receive and freely they give. And it's a place where just the Holy Spirit can dwell. And you can see sometimes in church that one person's receiving and the other person's saying, I wonder what's for lunch. You know, which person is a place of visitation and which one is a habitation? So I want to take you from a place of visitation into a place of habitation tonight. I want to show you the difference. I want to show you that you believe, you belong, so you behave. It's not what you do that makes you who you are. It's who you are that makes you what you do. It's your fruits coming out of you that makes you what you do. And in a place of habitation, you've got the maximum expectation of God. Instead of an ordinary life, you've got an extraordinary life. You've got an exciting life. You wake up and you look full of hope. You're full of joy. You're full of peace. You're full of love. You're full of the promises that He's given you over your life. You're just secure. You're comfortable. You're happy. You're joyous. The fruits are just pouring out. That is people living from a place of habitation. But unfortunately, 91% of the people in churches around the world live from a place of visitation. And a place of visitation is you believe, but you compromise. It's a place of you're very soulish life. It rules by emotion, will, mind, personality, self as a center. It's give me, touch me, fill me. And often it's manifested into either religion or rebellion. It's what you're doing for me. Look what I do. And if you don't understand what I do, I'm out of here. It's rebellion. That's living from a place of visitation. And I'm not talking from visitation. It's just coming to church and living from a place of visitation. Because then you actually come to church, you're in a habitation. Do you understand what I mean? Because there's a corporate anointing here. So you've got the Holy Spirit full in here. You know, you've got your pastor coming in, he's full of the Holy Spirit, he's just anointing the whole place, the worshippers anointing the whole place, other people that have just been receiving the whole week are anointing the whole place, so you walk in and everything's cool, you're under the habitation. I'm not talking about that, I'm talking about visitation is when you walk out of this door, it's your private lifestyle. When you walk out of the door, what is your private lifestyle? Do you just leave the Holy Spirit and just carry on with your own lifestyle? Which is full of compromise. It's I believe, I behave. Only when I do something that it is recognized and I get applauded, that's me. Now that's, I'm doing this, guys, because I want to move us out of there. Okay? I'm not doing this because I'm just want to knock you on the head. You know? I'm doing this, you know, God shows us, He's setting up people to be burning ones. We can't be burning ones if we're living from visitation. You can't get over your lifestyle and the things that are happening to you if you're living from a place of visitation. You're going to carry on going around in the mountain, round the mountain for 40 years. And some of you are getting a bit too old to go around for another 40 years. All right, so I'm going to take you out of there. Let's make it 40 seconds and let's change, okay? All right, and God and the Holy Spirit are going to change us. And it's your lifestyle. You believe, you behave, so you feel that you belong. You know, it's who I know in church. And am I standing around the right circles? And am I doing the right thing? But when you walk out of here, that is your real visitation. That is the place, the secret place with God. That is your one-on-one. That is your special time that nobody can encroach on. That is you and God just talking to each other and having a good time. That is your place of real habitation. That is a place of out of rest. You'll wear your enemy out because your enemy is having a field day with you. Field day. But you have to behold before you become. And what you become, you release. And I want to show you that if you know that you're living in the heavenlies, you know that you've got a loving, good Father all the time. And you know that you are in His presence at all the time. Then the Holy Spirit will teach us to abide in Christ. Stay in Christ. Abide in Christ. Live in Christ. And He'll show you your sonship. And you get this from a deep worship. You get this from reading. You get this from your Bible. Anything that gets you into a deep presence of God. Now, everybody's different. Some people are just like, oh, I just can't do this worship thing. But I'm sure you can do a reading thing. You know, everybody's different. I mean, let's put my thing on you. I'm not doing that. You know, you might get a hunger for absolutely reading every book that you got. You can find in the library there. It's all set up for you. Go and find one and start with one. Read your Bible. You were taught how to read your Bible for 3 weeks now. Read it in the right context. But from living from a place of habitation, you become an overcomer in your trials and your tribulations. And not only that, your wells that are just start overflowing, other people can receive from you. And you know what? It's much better to give than to receive. When you see somebody's face shine up with the realization of who they are in Christ, and they suddenly get so full and in the presence of God, and you see their life changing, and you can see the messages come out of them, and you see the joy, and they're not angry anymore, and you look at them and you say, wow, you're so sweet, what happened? You know, but really, I'm being honest. You know, you're not so nasty anymore. I used to go, near people, and now you just go, wow. Okay, sorry, I'm just sorry. I'm a very honest person, and sometimes I'm tactless. So sorry, but it's just my heart. It's just my heart. Okay. You know, we all know we're the bride of Christ, but some people have it from an external saying. I am the bride of Christ. And it's just, oh, I'm the bride of Christ, you know, that kind of attitude. When I say I'm the bride of Christ, every part, cell in my body wants to jump out of me. I promise you now, I can just go into another dimension right now. The bride of Christ, when you say that and it's a reality that hits you, that you are the bride of Christ. Well, let's not go down here. Okay. Some of you, think, I'm the bride of Christ, and it's all external, and you feel that your husband is actually living in London. And you know, you only see him one Sunday a month. 30 minutes, your pastor will tell you exactly what your husband's about. And you'll stare at him and say, wow, is that my husband? And then you walk out of there and your husband's back in London. And then maybe 4 weeks later, you'll come back to church and say, wow, that's right, I remember my husband. Wow, that's right, that's so exciting. And the whole morning, go, yeah, you tea, coffee, fellowship, wow, awesome, you're so nice, you're so sweet. And you walk out of there, your husband's back in London, you kick the dog. Okay, or your husband, whatever, you kick something. All right, that is just, God wants to say, my son is pursuing you like a husband pursues his bride. He paid a pearl of great price for you. And he bankrupted heaven for you. And he wants you all for himself. He sold everything for you. And you know what? If you ever go to Wall Street and you look at those guys on Wall Street, and if the richest person in the world, if they had to take the money, just say Bill Gates had to take the money, and he had to put all his money in one commodity, Bill Gates will be sitting and staring at that commodity all day because all his money is invested in there. And that's what Jesus is doing to you right now. He's staring at you because he's invested everything in you. He bankrupted heaven for you. And he stares at you all day. That is the highest price he paid, and that is what he's going to treasure, and that is what he's going to look after, because he paid the greatest price, and he's going to stare at it all day. So, when you fully invest something in somebody, you're going to keep your eye on it all the time. Are you all with me? Okay. I sometimes speak very quickly. I'm going to show you the difference between a Jewish wedding, okay, and the finished work of the cross. Now, whilst I'm talking about the Jewish wedding, I want you to look at it through the finished work of the cross. If you get stuck, just say, I'm stuck. All right? A traditional Jewish wedding is called a kedushin. Now, excuse my pronunciation, but I'm not Jewish, but that's kedushin, okay? And it translates as sanctification and dedication. And its sanctification is not just a social arrangement or a contractual agreement, but a spiritual bonding and the fulfillment of a divine precept. Dedication indicates that the couple now have an exclusive relationship that involves total dedication of the bride and the groom to each other to the extent of them becoming one. All right, so now we've got this guy. Now, you're going to think of it from the finished work of the cross, okay? I'm going to explain the wedding. We've got this guy, and that's his bride. He knows that's his bride. But before he marries her, he's got to go and have a ketubah. Well, K-E-T-U-B-A-H. Okay, he's going to have to go to the father and do a written agreement, okay? So he's got to go to the father and ask the father if this person can be his bride. All right? Guys, don't get confused. Just go with me. Okay? I'm quite happy to be a son of God. All right? Put on that gown. Okay. So he goes to the father and he says, I want to marry that bride. I want to marry your daughter. I want to marry her. And the father says, it's time for mohar. M-O-H-A-R, however you pronounce it, excuse me. What that means is called the bridal payment. And they sit down, and there's a gift to pay to become a bride in a Jewish wedding. And it's an ultimate price the groom must pay for this woman to be his bride. But what happens is the money doesn't go to the bride's family. It actually goes to the bride, and it sets her free once he pays his price. It sets the bride free. Okay? So now they're sitting, and the father and the son-in-law-to-be are discussing a price. And they've come to an agreement on the price. The father takes the two cups, and he pours two cups of wine out. And he says to the groom, we have made a price for you to have this bride. Will you take this cup and drink this cup to pay the full price for your bride in agreement? And the groom said, I will take the cup and I'll drink this cup in agreement that I have paid the full price. And they're sitting under a canopy. It's called a huppah. And he takes a cup and he drinks a cup of wine. And he turns around to the bride-to-be, and he says to the bride-to-be, I have paid the full price. You do not have to pay anything. I have paid the full price. But what I want you to do is I want you to take this cup of wine and do this in remembrance of me, because I have paid the full price for you. And I am giving you every single thing I own. I am going to bankrupt myself, and I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to leave you with a gift to set you up whilst I'm away. Because I have to go away and build you a home. And the groom goes away. But before he goes away, the bride takes a cup and she drinks it. And she says, I will do this in remembrance of you because you have set me up for life. You have paid the greatest price anybody could pay for me. Now, the bride is ecstatic. She's over the moon. And she's got a future groom coming that's going away now to give her, build her a house. And in the biblical times, most often is done by building, not by building a new home, but by simply adding additional rooms to the father's home. But the rabbi said, the home that you're building must be better than what your bride is ever used to living. And it wasn't the groom's duty to determine the place that he was preparing when it's going to be ready. Only the father could tell the groom when it's ready that he can go and fetch his bride. Only the father could say, you can go and fetch your bride now. And whilst the groom is away, he's left a gift for her. It's called a matan. And it's a gift that fully equips her to cope with the days that he's away. Are you matching it all up? Okay. And whilst he's away, she's got to prepare and do things in order to receive the groom. So she's got to get her house in order. And she does things and she gets, you know what she does? She goes and looks for a dress. She chooses the best wine. She chooses the food. She sends the table decorations. Now, it's not work. It's fun. This is what women love to do. And she has got every single gift she can. And she's got all the time in the world to just go and set up the biggest wedding feast whilst her groom is coming back. And she's preparing. And she's waiting. And she's been given every single gift to cope with the time that a groom, when he's not here, she can cope with it. And she's having fun. And her fun is leading out to the other people, and other people around her are having fun, and they're getting involved in, your groom is coming, your groom is coming, and they're getting involved in this big wedding that's going to happen. And just before the groom comes, the groom's guys that come help him, they go down the street and they shout, the bridegroom is coming, the bridegroom is coming, and they blow a shofar. And once they do that, everybody in the whole village put out the tables, they put out the wine, they put out the meat, they put out the music, and they have a 7-day celebration. And then the groom and the bride sit under the canopy and they get married. Once I was worshipping at our Glory Cell, and an incredible experience, and I was just worshiping God and just doing my own thing. Everybody's doing their own thing. I was worshiping God, and next minute the Holy Spirit just took me up and he put me in this canopy, and it was a large canopy, and I was standing in the canopy, and there were four angels holding the canopy up, and there was these big curtains with big knots, and on the knots, where the knots are, the angels were grabbing them, and they were saying north, east, south, and west. And they were throwing the knots out into the world. And the fire was just spreading all over the world. And they said, the groom is coming, the groom is coming. And I looked up, I sat down, it was on a chin, I looked up. And then I saw the most incredible sight. I saw God, I saw the consuming fire of God at the top of the canopy. And it was just consuming fire and the colors. And I couldn't say a word, I was just sitting there, and I was looking at the colors of a consuming fire of God over my head. And I knew it was God, I knew it was this consuming fire. And I just could stare at it for a long time. I was out of breath, and I was just looking at this consuming fire. And next minute, God turned to me, and he says, Michelle, I've got you in my son's canopy. You are the bride. Are you just going to say yes, yes, yes? Are you going to give me your yeses? And I said, yes, Lord, I'm going to give you my yeses of love. And he says, I'm going to put you over the edge and I'm going to let you fly around the world. And I'm going to just let you eat from my hand and let the fruits come out of you that will you'll be able to reach the kingdom of the world. And all I could say was, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. So I don't know what's in store there, but I said yes. We mustn't get caught up with the fascination of doing things, because then you lose the fascination of Jesus. Okay, and then you work in the spirit of performance. All right, and then you start saying, my ministry, my job, my money, my this, my that, and all, it's just an orphan spirit. And if you start saying it's my money and it's my job and my this, then what's going to happen is like an orphan, when you receive, you can't give. You know why? Because an orphan, have you ever gone to an orphanage? Because what happens in the orphanage when you hand out the things, they take a little bit and they put all the stuff in their pocket. Because they do not believe that anybody's good. They don't believe you'll come back and feed them again. And that's like saying to the Father, I don't believe you that good. I'm going to take from you, Dad, and I'm going to keep it because I believe I'm an orphan and that you're not that good and you're not going to come back for me. That is a terrible spirit. And we just want to show you that it's not a good place to be. A good place to be is when you just know your Father is so good that whatever you receive, you know that when you hand out what you receive, you know that it's going to be abundantly more. Because like the Jewish people, they always have their hands open for receiving and giving. An orphan mentality is not based on how poor you are in society. I mean, that's just a worldly thing. Okay? A rich, very rich person in this world can have an orphan mentality. It's not the riches of the world that makes you an orphan. All right? An orphan mentality is that you don't believe in the goodness of God, and you feel that you'll only bless so-and-so, but he'll never bless me. Oh, they will get that, but I'm just not good enough. And it's only for the favored. You know, the favored in the front here, they only will receive. But us that sit at the back, or whatever, we just will not receive. Okay? And in any case, it's like you're standing there, and you're in your palace, but you're actually in a prison. And you just feel that God looks at you through a keyhole and says, how are you doing today? Dad's come to visit. Dad's come to visit. Dad's come to visit, but not for long. You know? And that's such a lie in your life. It's such a lie. Because when this Jesus was standing in the water and the dove came down and the heavens rendered open, and then we stayed open from then on, and the dove came down, and he said, my beloved son, this is my beloved son who I'm well pleased. Do you know that you live in your beloved son? In his beloved son? So he's looking at you and saying, this is my beloved son. I am well pleased. See, you're a son and you're a bride. Very confusing, but awesome. Okay? Let's have a look at our lifestyle. Firstly, we were made in the heavens. And Dad made every single one of us individually. He created us different. He gave us different things. You could sing. Some people can do this. Some people can do that. You got different colors. You got different sounds. Every part of your DNA when you move is a sound to God. He created you intimately, in detail, in perfection. Now, you got to always remember that. That's how your Father created you. Right? And then he sent you down to earth, born of a woman, born into slavery. And for years, our mindsets were told that this is more real than anything in eternity. This is how you sit in a chair. This is how you cut a cake. This is how you go to work. This is how you do. And everything that you see now, this is solid and it's real. And the supernatural stuff is unreal. Don't look at it. That's what your mindset was. For years and years and years and years, you've been told that this is more real than the things in the heavens. All right? In fact, let me tell you something. The things in the heaven are more real than this. This is actually not solid. But you'll get there. We'll get there. This is early. Okay. Right. Sorry. So we're still doing foundations. Okay. Right. Then Jesus came and he swooped us up. Woo! And he put us in this palace. But our mindset has got a lock on it. And we can't register that we're in this palace. Okay? Now we're in this palace. We're all in this palace. We're back in the heavenlies. It says in the Bible, we are seated in the heavenlies. So if it says in the Bible, is your father lying? No. So we are seated in the heavenlies, aren't we? But now your mind is locked in a prison. Okay? And you don't believe that you're in this palace. So now, let's take the two differences. So you're in this palace and you think, okay, I'm hungry. Now we're talking about spiritual hunger, but we're hungry, okay? You're in this palace and you're hungry. For me to receive anything, I've got to eat because I'm hungry and I need to be filled. What I must do is I must go down this, open this door, I must go down this corridor and all these doors are shut, okay? I must find the kitchen and then I've got to prepare. I've got to cook. I've got to eat. And then I've got to clean. Walking down the corridor, walking down the corridor, you're thinking, I've got to do this, I've got to do this, I've got to do this. And Jesus says, hello, what you doing? Oh, you know, I'm just so hungry. I just want to be filled. And he says, well, look on your right. Look on your right. And you look to your right. And there's an open door. It's mine. There's an open door. Look on your right. And there's a table laid out individually for you. And you look on the right and you see this feast and this table laid out. And you go in and you eat. And it's just plenty of drinks and cherries and watermelons and fruits and everything that we've had the glory time with. All of that is just so available. And then you go back and you lie on your bed and you've had such a wonderful evening. Wow, the presence was there and I just received all these goods and I just ate. And the next morning you wake up, you're back in the prison. You know why? Because we're people of habit. And if you don't walk to change a step, you're not going to change it. And if you don't keep on taking a step further, you're not going to change. You're going to keep on going back. So if you think, if you really, really, really think that you don't have to come on Sunday morning because you've got the fullness of God and you know everything and you do not have to be in the company of everybody because God just downloads everything to me and I have such a super time, well, I'm telling you, you're very mistaken because you get into a very bad habit. And with that very, very bad habit, you start losing. And then suddenly you wake up and you say, what happened? I'm back in this prison. When you start setting up, look, it does sound like work, but it's not work. Okay, because you should be so excited to be in here with the company of friends and fellowship and everything. You should be so excited. You should be what hungry to eat and find out what your dad's got to say to you. You should be living in a place of absolute habitation that when you come here on a Sunday morning, it's, whoa, glory, glory, glory. And you just pass that glory on to people who haven't seen the glory. You should be a people of giving. You should be overflowing. You should be helping. You should be loving. You should be picking up the broken. You should be helping the setting the prisoners free. They're sitting at the back at trial. Go and give them a hug. They need a love from Father. Maybe you'll touch somebody who's never been hugged before. But it's not about you and your selfish, compromised lifestyle. It's not about you sitting at home and saying, I'm so full that I do not have to give anybody anything because I've got it all. You've got to change your mindset. You've got to actually practice getting out and stop being compromising and selfish and soulish. Once you learn to be giving people and learn to be a giving people and learn to be giving, you will be giving. It will come naturally. But you tend to step back to the old ways very quickly if you step back out of the body. Sure, I didn't mean to go down there. Okay. Okay. The enemy is out to attack you And in the place of habitation, you can arise above that trial, above that fear, above the things that you're going through. You are God's beloved. You are seated in the heavenlies. You are royalty. You are in the palace. You are kingdom children. You have the fruits of the Spirit. Jesus wants you to have his entire kingdom. He wants you to have success. He's put everything. He paid a pearl of great price for you. Of course, he wants his commodity to be successful. He wants you healthy. He wants you rich. He wants you full of love. He wants you full of joy. He wants you to have everything. He didn't pay for that for nothing. I'm not going to invest. If I was Bill Gates. If I was Bill Gates and I invested everything in one commodity, do you think I'm going to leave it alone? If I was that guy, I'd be staring at it all day. I'll pay somebody to stare at it. But Jesus paid the price. And he says, I want us to be together, have unlimited access in the kingdom. But we can't be everywhere, every time, and everything. Okay, so actually, how do we work? All right, how do we work? We work as a puzzle. You've been given that, and 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 we all fit into the mind of Christ. That's why we need the body. You cannot be an individual person on its own thinking, I don't need the body. Because the mind of Christ is from everybody. You can't be the full mind of Christ. You're not Christ. But all the parts together make us the mind of Christ. Give us the colors. Give us the go. Give us the joy. And the people who are not there, you help them, lift them up with encouraging words, lift them up with a hug, lift them up with a help, lift them up. When you discover your Father is, you can walk in the kingdom and you can see your Father in everything, in every single thing. You can see him in this rain. You have to wait, oh, it's a rain, I don't know how I'm going to get there, oh, I don't think I'll go out, oh, it's raining. People walk for miles in the snow. You know, you're driving in the rain. Sad life, you know. But you'll see his hand on everything. And when you walk in the spirit of truth, you'll walk in the spirit of love. You'll depend on your Father for absolutely everything. You'll value everything he's given you with thanks and joy. Every small thing that you got, if you cannot say thank you for the small things, how are you going to say thank you for the big things? You know what? I'm only going to give when I'm a millionaire. Sure. Yeah, you couldn't give me, I gave you 200 rand. Now you think you gave when you got it all. No, because you got an orphan spirit then. So suddenly you got all this money. God's not going to give me that million again. I'm going to keep this million. Oh boy, I'm going to keep this million. Okay? But I've heard testimonies of people who have given millions and God said the next day you handed right out, they obeyed God. And they've just got more millions, and they've got more millions, and they've got more millions, and they can't give it out fast enough. So if you know and love and living in a place of habitation, you'll be a place of loving and a giving spirit. It comes automatically. But if Jesus only visits you occasionally, whew, you're going to dry up like a prune. Okay, you'll hide everything under your bed. All right. But the people also that also need to know God's love. It's not poor people. Everybody has to go and minister out to the poor. Some people have to go and minister to the wealthy. There's people that are very, very wealthy that do not know our Father's love. All right? And I just feel that in worship, in the time that you spend with God, in worship, the Holy Spirit just shows you everything. He really does. He just loves on you. You have such fun with him. And I don't want you just, you all fall down. You have such great fun. But when you go home, it's just like, bye-bye, honey. I'm going back to my lifestyle. Because you know what? The enemy is just going to have such fun with you. You're just opening up gates. And you're opening up doors. And your wells are going to get blocked again. And, you know, then you come crying. Give me a prophetic word. Some of you got so many prophetic words lined up. You can have a vault. If you just look at those prophetic words and take them out the vault and speak them over your life, well, your life will be amazing. You know, just open the doors. All right, so let's have a look. It's time to mess with the enemy's head. He's messed with yours far too long. And if you think that your life is all in order, come and talk to us, because I see some of you are like 30, 40, 50, and I don't see any order. You know? If you think you're the greatest and you're so spiritual and you're up there, you're a different realm and nothing touches you, come and tell us, because we want to see it. Okay? Because all of you have got menus on you. All of you have got things going on in your life. All of you are going, ooh, woe is me. Let's mess with the enemy's head. Let's start with a place tonight. We're going to start with a place of habitation and not visitation. We're going to go out there. We're going to change our lives. You're not going to sit with a place of visitation any longer. These are the people, are the burning ones. These are the ones that God has set apart. These are the ones to help raise up the people that are coming through this door. If you've got 30,000 people coming through this door, I think you better be ready. Because not Steve Wheeler and Peter and James and Jimmy are going to handle them. You're going to have to handle them yourself. And how are you going to handle them? Because they're going to come in with problems. You're going to have to show them how to grow. You're going to have to show them how to extend their borders. You're going to have to show them how to squash the enemy's head. You're going to show them that how to live a place of habitation. And know that Jesus is good at all times. No matter what your circumstances, you are going to rise above that circumstances. You are not going to sit here and say, I'm living in a place of visitation anymore. You are going to extend your borders. How do you extend your borders? You extend your borders because when your wells are full, you need to extend your pegs. Because if you ever put water in a balloon, the balloon blows up. Right. So when you've got the living, flowing waters living through you, God wants to extend your borders. He wants to increase your territory. He wants to give you everything. He does not want to see you suffer anymore. He wants you to say that I am more than a conqueror. I am more than a conqueror. I am an overcomer on every single trial. And when that trial comes, you're going to say, no, enemy, you're not going to have your right of way with me anymore. I am terribly sorry. I am messing with your head because my mind is now going to think differently. I know who I am. I know where I'm seated. And God's going to turn this around for good. And I'm not going to put my eye on this circumstance anymore. I am going to change my circumstance. I'm going to be a shining light in this church. I'm going to be standing up. I'm going to be whole. I'm going to be helpful. I'm going to be giving. I'm going to be loving. And it's not works. It's the Holy Spirit working inside of you, and it just overflows, and you just cannot help yourself. And everybody's touched differently, so leave them alone. When they touch, God is working on them. The fire is burning on them, and they need to get the things off them. Leave them alone, and when they get up, make sure that the fruits of them are coming out and help them walk a right walk. Because that is who you are meant to be, sons and daughters of the Most High God. You're seated in the heavenlies, and it's time for you to open your mindset, get out of that prison, and go through the corridors, and know that every single door in heaven is open for you to feast, to eat, to enjoy. You are God's commodity, and He paid a big price for you. He doesn't have to pay it again and again and again and again and again and again. He's paid it once and for all, and it's finished. It's time to rise, and it's time to shine. It's time to realize who you are. And it's time to beat that enemy. I was enjoying God. You don't think I'm enjoying God tonight, eh? Sure. So sorry, but I just have to get this message out. I was enjoying God, and you know, it took me up into His presence. It's a mighty presence. And I just heard His heartbeat, and His heartbeat was like boom, 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 boom. And His heartbeat is the sound of heaven. And I stood there, and He says, Michelle, you're only on the outskirts. And I said, yeah, no, I want to get closer. And He says, now listen to this. And it was boom, ba-boom, boom, boom, ba-boom, boom. And I said, what does it mean? And He says, boom is lean forward, revelation. Ba-boom is rest, back, go back, receive, know how good I am. Forward, revelation. You see, revelation is drinking and eating the things that Christ has got for you. It's on the table. It's laid out. These people laying out these revelations for you. And you're not even coming and receiving. You're coming once a month. How can you conceive with the revelation? If it's all laid out for you, you don't come and feast. Right. So it's laid out for you. It's laid out for you at your home. You know how lucky you are? In China, you haven't got millions of books in the bookshop. You can't even have a Bible. It's laid out for you. Your revelation is laid out for you. Keep your eye on it. Boom, boom. Lean back. Rest. Taste and see how good God is for you. Boom, boom. Lean back. See his face and worship. See him. Feel him. Hear him. He's given you all the senses. Open up the borders. Extend your borders. Extend your line. Just to see revelation. And back, rest. Rest on his shoulder. And often I just lay there and rest on God's shoulder. And just rest. And just stare at the eyes of Jesus. Wow. It's just revelation. It's just. Jesus. You just got to receive. You just, in your time, whether it's not worship tonight, just go individually and have a good time with Dad. Let him, just hear his heartbeat, guys. I didn't want to come back when I heard his heartbeat. And he said, Michelle, you're only on the border. You're only on the outskirts. I've got so much more for you. Do you know how much more he's got for us? We're all sitting on the outskirts. And he just wants us to just come closer. And as you go closer, it's a thick presence of God. And it's thicker and thicker and thicker. And as you go closer, and as you go, as you go closer, it's just a thick presence of God. But I was just in the presence of God, and as I was so close, I said, oh, but your heart's like, he says, yeah, just come closer. And that's what he's calling you to do. The son paid a great price for you to come closer anytime you want. Anytime you want. And you just got to step into the other dimension. And we'll get there. We'll show you there. But just right now, live in a place of habitation. That's it. Yeah, just if the band can come up, please, thank you. And I just want to pray for you quickly. If you just stand. What I actually want to do, I want you to take a step forward and then take a step back. And that's just going to give us the thing is, when you take a step forward, is you're just going to accept the change in your life. You're going to say, I'm going to live in a place of habitation. You take a step back. I'm going to live in a place of habitation. And you take a step back and you go forward. I'm going to live in a place of habitation. And it's just taking that step for Christ. And that's what I want you to do. I want you to come and just come forward in the front here and just take that step for Christ. And just right now as the band's starting, just take a step forward and just put up your hand and just put up your hand.